Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
I missed the throw. That's what it came down to. Didn't make enough plays. And actually, they went that one back. We had the miscue. And, you know, I didn't get the snap before halftime. And I bobbled it. Couldn't spike it. We would have gotten a loss of down. So I tried to spit one out there and get it out there. But just didn't play good situational football tonight. Our defense played very well. Special teams had a really good day. But offensive side of the ball, we didn't take care of business and start with me.
And the Bulldog.
You know, sometimes a loss like this is good medicine. Actually, a loss like this is good medicine. In 2012... you know, I think we started the season, you know, 1-3, and we went on a 9-game winning streak, you know, with Peyton Manning.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Well, the snap to Morstead. This kick is partially blocked high into the air. The Bills, it'll sail out the back of the end zone. It's a safety. It's a safety. And the Bills had two on the board.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, Eric Wood in an hour. For all I know, you and I have not spoken today. Maybe you've been biking or golfing. I know you're doing a lot of that. Shopping for a new guitar.
I did some shopping. I ran some errands. I got rained on pretty heavily. Go ahead, finish what you're wondering because we haven't communicated.
What I'm wondering is, like, what is your favorite topic from this game?
I don't know if I can boil it down to just one thing. There's just so much. But I think the most interesting place to stand is, well, I don't know. I don't want to make it sound like I think I'm the most interesting person. What I find the most interesting is how hard or not hard you want to be on them for the mistakes that they made. For the plays that they didn't make in a game that they clearly had many opportunities to win, not even just at the end. I mean, I don't know how things would have been different if Gabe Davis catches that ball or Matt Milano holds on to that almost certain pick six. The score would have been different at the time, but there's still a lot of game left. At the very end, there were, you know, I think the fourth down pass is a bigger miss, maybe the biggest miss of the game. It's at the end. Doesn't guarantee the Bills a win. There's a minute 40-something left there for Miami to work with, and they only would have needed a field goal to tie you, unless the Bills would have gone for two, which I think would never have happened. I'm torn. Like, I wrote about this last night, and I couldn't bring myself to be, like, just flat-out say they blew it. Because we watched the game, and as we were watching the game, I think you felt for everybody that was out there competing. Like, the conditions just seemed really, really challenging. They were dinged up to begin with, and just guys were going down. I mean, I think I said at one point on the postgame show, if you're inclined, as you're watching that and expecting them to pull it out, to say, like, wow, what a win. So much adversity. I'm really impressed. And then they don't make one play or one of a few plays that could have given them that result. How hard do you want to clobber them for that?
Listen, because if they get the spike off after the McKenzie pass and kick a 58-yard field goal to win that game, I am blown away.
Yeah.
What will they not accomplish if you're going to win, like, if you're going to win a game like that? What right. is this team not capable of? Which can still be the vibe. Anyway.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But I'm like, I'm wrestling. I don't know if it's, you know, because my inclination is to say these guys deserve some benefit of the doubt. I mean, their talent is undeniable. I think they still, you know, I didn't see anything yesterday that's going to scare me off of them being the best team in the league. really, I mean, I know they don't have the best record anymore in the league, not even in the conference or in their division, because Miami is a game ahead of them now. But I don't think anything's really changed. And so, like, any inclination you have to be like, just make a throw, dude, which is sort of how I feel about the fourth down pass. Like, dude, that's a pretty easy play. What are you doing there? Why are you late? Why are you slipping? Like, you know, I mean, stuff happens, I guess, right? So I want to just go, no big deal. But then, you know, there's a part of me, maybe this is the drought at work on me where, you know, and we talk all the time here, like, it gets interesting when you have things to criticize. And I think there's room to criticize them for not making some plays in this game, even with the adversity. You know, just make a throw and you win the game. You know, first down with a minute 35 or whatever there was, a minute 30 to go and no timeouts, needing a field goal, needing 35 or 40 yards with this offense, I don't want to be the Miami Dolphins in that situation. I'm expecting to lose. And
if
so,
you're Miami.
If you're Miami, yeah. So I'm still sort of – I'm torn. Like, I'm really let down by them not coming through because I fully expected them to. I don't stop short of saying they should have, but I don't know. I just
it's a super high bar.
They kind of blew it.
It's a super high bar.
Yeah,
and,
sure it is.
And that last drive, Miami broke up passes. You know, he didn't have a drop there exactly. You didn't have a miss even from Allen. You know, I say even because you're talking about the McKenzie throw from earlier. Not like he usually misses, but you had a penalty there, and I don't know that I have a handle on that, but it put them in second and 20 with 18 seconds to go.
Yeah.
And, you know,
good luck. Yeah.
Good luck. So then you have that play, and I've been staring at that play for like an hour and a half. Because yesterday a guy called up and said he should have gone out of bounds, and I said, well, he might have had to go backwards to do that, in which case the clock would keep running. And, geez, I don't know. Like, there were a couple of people yesterday who tied it. This is, I think, what today is. This would be my answer to my question. Like, what is my favorite topic from this game is, like, you had a couple fans yesterday calling to say that there's a theme here with the Bills, that the end of the game in Kansas City was the causes for that also were causes yesterday. Just not knowing the moves when it's like you're right up against the clock. Now, Kansas City is a historically blatant bad job. I mean, that was just what I said. That's one thing I said yesterday. I'm not ready. I don't want to tie anything to Kansas City unless some other meltdown happens this year.
But the Bills have, and we all have to sort of dissect it. The misfortune of the first time they're faced with adversity in a game, like the first close game they have all year, they didn't get it done.
Right.
And so, like, we're right back to, you know, can this coach get it done? Like, there's a lot of stuff that to me is vastly overstated, but, you know, the connection's there. Like, if you were standing there to begin with, you ended last year worried about McDermott or worried about this team.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
His ability to perform in tight games? Yesterday did nothing but give you kerosene, I think.
It didn't help, but it might not be the same thing. That's what I think would be interesting to talk through. Like, a lot of the little, not little, a lot of the singular plays throughout this game, if Matt Milano gets the pick six, like a walk-in touchdown, all right, so maybe they probably win, but that's not in the same category. Like, execution-type plays are not. The throw to McKenzie in the end zone that Allen is short on is not in the same category. The end of the first half might be, but that's Allen, and he explained that, I think, correctly. You know, like, once he bobbles the snap, he has to come up with a different idea, and he just messed it up. You know, it's split seconds. Mm-hmm. And so, okay. The McKenzie play that ends the game, I mistakenly called it the penultimate play. It is the last play of the game. There is no spike. There is no more after this play. I told you, I've been staring at this for more than an hour. And I think there are a couple of maybe fair questions about it.
Mm-hmm. Fine. I looked at it a lot yesterday before I wrote. So we both have looked at this play extensively, I would say.
Yeah, and I at the time of our post-game show, I don't even think we got a replay. Because, you know, the game is over. It was handshakes, and then, you know, we're pretty much getting ready to go on the air. So I don't think I saw the play twice yesterday.
I am in the same boat.
Almost definitely. Well, maybe they did show it, but I don't remember. So the question I have about this play. So McKenzie, it's second and 20 with 18 seconds to go, and the Bills are at their 47. They need 15 yards at least, probably. And, you know, 18 seconds, no timeouts, 18 seconds, you'd think you'd have time for two plays. Almost no matter what happens on this play, I think Allen would think he's got time for another one to spike the ball. It's second down, so they have that. He's under pressure. It's one of these amazing plays he makes where he gets out.
Yeah, but it takes forever until he finally gets rid of the ball.
You know, it takes a few seconds. He gets out, and McKenzie is just running a safety valve route. Like, he's on the left flank. And he cuts into the middle, and he's kind of standing still. Like, he's just, I'm here if you need me. And Allen goes to him. I'm fine so far. Like, it's a already frantic, messed up play, and it's a scramble. And he dumps the ball off to McKenzie, fine. On the Dolphin logo, right? So he's on the Dolphin logo, and maybe we're at 12 seconds now. This could be one of those days like the Eichel goal where we're sitting here. We get everybody, get out your tablets, and we'll walk through this together.
Right.
Maybe somebody, you know,
when you say
are.
He's on the logo, by the way, he's not exactly at midfield. I think he's about at the 46-yard line.
Yeah, no, right. That's right.
Okay.
But he's in the center of the field, I mean.
Yes, I just want to clarify. Good, okay.
He's in the center of the field.
Mm-hmm.
He takes a step, and then toward the right, because he's moving in that direction, his momentum is taking him down to up on the screen, left to right on the field. And after, like, the first step, he starts to go for the sideline. I think he has the instinct to get out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody gets his foot and slows him up. And there's another guy, I think it's Xavien Howard, who's got the angle on him now. Mm-hmm. And McKenzie's not at full speed anymore. So McKenzie, I think, you know, probably is right to stop and cut upfield. And, you know, and then there's two more guys waiting for him. And that ends up being the end of the game. He might have made the sideline had he sort of broken out and gotten away from the first guy and kept his speed. And I think there it's maybe even likely that he makes it to the sideline without having to run backwards, which I pointed out yesterday was also a thing. Maybe the clock keeps running.
But I don't think he's really got an opportunity to gain any yardage.
No, I don't either.
Right.
But
so
he can get to the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
This is
maybe.
He can get to the maybe. He can get to the sideline 10 seconds, third down, and then you're still live. Then who would you rather be? I think I'd still maybe rather be the Bills if he gets there. 10 seconds, no timeouts.
Right, so another play. That's
another
not your
play.
Last play. Yeah, okay.
Right, and I need 5 yards to get to that target line on the field. You know, 10, I'm thinking I'm likely to win. It has to be the sideline, and it's not coming easy, and everybody's exhausted and passing out. So, I mean, I recognize. I'm not inclined to be critical of McKenzie. These are split-second decisions, and his instincts, I think, are fine. Some fans would say he could have just gone down right away or just fallen forward right away. Then they can spike it. Now you're at fourth down, though, because the spike is a down. So now you'd be at fourth down, and that's a 60-plus yard field goal.
Right.
I don't love that. Like, if you had all the time in the world to process that, the only thing I think McKenzie could do differently there is take that first harder sprint to try to make it out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And here is maybe something interesting. So I'm not blaming him. Like, I just, come on, right? Like, these guys split-second decisions. He's thinking about the clock, but then he's also like, I can't get there now. It's fine. I think it's fine. There's nobody on the sideline in the picture, like, waving him over. McDermott is not in the picture. McDermott is past the 35. You only see him after McKenzie is tackled.
And he's motioning, like, hurry up, hurry up.
Yes.
Get up to spike. Yeah.
Yes, which is correct. I mean, at that point, that's correct. I never really thought about, like, where he stands on a play.
I guessed. I'm assuming you've looked hard at that. I did not, when I looked at this play over and over again, I was mostly just looking at McKenzie and what his options were. And I guessed yesterday that maybe McDermott is standing at the yard to gain, at the 40, wherever that mark was.
He's
on
past
the field,
that.
But he's past that.
He's
okay,
got to be 5 yards past
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah.
Because you don't even see him until the play is over, and he walks into the screen and is motioning, like, hurry up.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair? Because this is the question today. Like, do the Bills have a problem? Do the Bills have a strategy problem, right? That's what the whole offseason was about.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one questions their potential, their ability. Do I want McDermott or somebody else in the picture waving McKenzie? Like, McKenzie doesn't have to notice him. And I don't know if anybody's yelling at him.
Yeah.
But it looks visually, it looks like a team that does not know the deal. Because we're staying inbounds and nobody's gesturing on the sideline. And now the game's over. So I wanted to bring that up because I think it'd be interesting to talk about whether it's fair, whether we think that's something that should have happened.
My first inclination as you're talking about, you know, is someone waving at him, telling him what to do, is like Little League parents telling their kids to run.
Slide,
you know?
Yeah.
Right. Like, he's on the field. I think I'm gonna trust that he knows the situation. And so I don't know how much he needs someone there waving, come here, come here, come here. It's an interesting observation. Like, it's not something that I did not think about the sideline at all. I thought about him and could he get out of bounds? And I think the way you described it, I think, is about right. Like, there's a moment pretty early in the sequence after he gets the ball that, to me, I would question him being able to get there or not. And it might be that first step, like you're saying, like, he didn't definitively go for it. And if he had, maybe he makes it. I think by the time, like, I'm watching yelling get out of bounds, I think it's harder for him to get there. I think that the angle, and I don't know if TV does a great job of showing it. I think last night on post game, I felt like he made a mistake, and I almost definitely think he didn't know.
The only chance, I feel like this is safe, if it hasn't exactly been said already. The only chance he has of the sideline is if he, in the moment he catches the ball, sprints there and, mm-hmm. and gets around the first Dolphin, and then I think he makes it. But he needed to do that. And once he didn't do that, he gets like, his ankle gets hit, and then he correctly probably just gives up. On the sideline.
Like, I'm not going to make it. Like,
right.
Whoever that is, if it's Howard, like you suggested.
I think it's David. 25.
Yeah.
He's 25.
Yes, that's him.
The second guy. And McKenzie slips that tackle. Like, if he gets tackled by Xavier Howard, they're maybe still alive. That's a spike and a 60-plus yard field goal or a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
But McKenzie breaks two tackles on that run, and it ends up sort of being ironically unfortunate. But the best case scenario for them on that play was if he made the sideline. And then their chances are fair. Their chances are decent if he makes the sideline, like, immediately from the point of catching the ball. Well, do I want to have Sean McDermott over there screaming at him, waving at him? You know, I would really like nothing like antagonistic about this. I'd love to know, like, how he decides where to stand there. You know, like, he's not thinking this. He's not thinking, I'm going to stand here to make sure I know, I can tell these, maybe I can help, you know, get out of bounds.
That's why I suggested maybe he is standing at the yard to gain. Like, if this is where, we need to get to where I am standing.
The first down,
for the field goal. First down, whatever. The field goal is the line.
Well, he's not standing there. He might have been standing at the first down line.
Right. That's why I'm saying, like, I thought that would have made sense as a place to stand. you know, just here, I'm an additional marker if you need it, you know, like because there isn't a marker on the field telling you where the line to gain for the field goal is, right?
Right.
But they know what that
but
is.
But he should know that too.
Yeah, of course. And so I don't know how they decide or he decides where he's standing, but I thought yesterday it would have made sense for him to be on that yard line, the 40, but he wasn't.
It all happened so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, they did have a chance to huddle before the play, but still, like, it's all no timeouts left, and it's so hot. I can't imagine sort of the frantic, you know, feelings in that moment.
That penalty was such a big penalty. You know, like, really, they're at the 43. They're at the Miami 43.
27 seconds.
Right. And it's like, okay, well, you know, I got it. As soon as they get backed up, I even said out loud, watch it. I'm like, they're in real trouble now. Like, now it's, they're in real trouble. I didn't feel like they were in trouble even at you know, sitting there on the 43. Like, all right, whatever, a few more yards, we're kicking a field goal. We got it.
I don't know what that penalty was.
It was holding on Quesenberry.
Okay.
He got beat. He came in for Brown. Brown was having a very tough day, and he left the game with heat-related illness. But he was getting beat badly, and I want to, you know, guess that his physical state had something to do with that. Maybe, hopefully. But Quesenberry got beat clean, and just you know, he held the guy. So
it's there's no problem with the call.
I don't think so.
All right, I don't have that. Like, and in the Pro Football Reference play-by-play, that's not mentioned. It doesn't have the penalty on there. They probably go in and revise those once everything becomes official, like the next day or whatever it is. 803-0550 for your calls. Here's Eric on WGR. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I just wanted to say, Mike, I thought you brought up a really good point about do the Bills have a strategy issue, or question, rather. Yeah. And I think the answer is yes. I think it's been proven time and time again that when it comes right down to these last second split hair things, I mean, you know, my man McDermott and some of the coaches, 13 seconds, like there is some really questionable knuckleheaded decisions that are being made right at the tail end. Not to mention when that goal line stand, when they're trying to be cute on the goal line with that weird QB sneak that Josh was trying to do or whatever. Somebody had to call that.
There's nothing cute about that. That's a regular part of their offense. But go ahead. Sorry.
All right. Fair enough. But, I mean, like north and south, right? Mm-hmm. Can't you just make the argument? You're at how many inches away from the goal line? Just keep handing it off or sneak it. Taking that step back like that. I mean, whatever. Splitting hairs. But I just think that some of the coaching, mm-hmm. when it gets right down to it, is to answer Mike's question, I think yes.
Okay.
At times there is a strategy issue.
Thanks.
That's all I really wanted to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric.
Sure, man.
The goal line series, that's what he's talking about, right? Allen gets stuck on second and goal from the one. I'm going to have to get you these numbers because this is going to be our new thing. Running plays are more successful from the 1 yard line from the shotgun than under center. And I think that that's counterintuitive, and maybe a lot of fans wouldn't know that. There's no room to criticize a team, any team, for going shotgun when the ball's on the one. Because the odds are odds. Like, every play is different. But NFL teams are more successful scoring running plays from the one when the quarterback is in the shotgun than not. This McKenzie stuff at midfield, the out of bounds, I mean, it is hard for me to rag on anybody. Like from this game.
That was a tactical mistake.
Yes. Did you watch Denver play? I mean, you almost should get arrested for criticizing the Bills today after watching Denver. Like, it's so hypercritical. The second down play, Allen gets stuck. I'm running him two more times or some option. I'm running the same play two more times. Like, I don't need to drop back and then try to find Diggs in the back of the end zone. I mean, the McKenzie thing he missed. Like, it's still their best play, and that's the play I would not want to have to defend if I'm the Dolphins, even though I did it on second down. You know what? Let's see you stop me twice more. I'm Josh Allen. Let's see you stop me twice more. You're not going to be able to do it. Now, maybe they would have, and then we could talk about how predictable they are and everything if that fails, but that's what I was thinking at the time.
Yeah. I don't mind them trying to throw it there. I just need my quarterback to make a throw. Yeah, I mean, the guy played like a monster and has through 3 weeks here. I mean, to criticize him seems insane. But he, I mean, he missed. His feet were all messed up. He slipped or whatever happened there. I mean, it just.
You know what the word might be? It's kind of a choke, maybe.
Okay.
You know?
That's, yeah.
When you miss, when you make them all the time and you miss the last one, like you shoot an air ball on the last one, that's kind of the word. But maybe he was hurt, too.
Yeah, maybe. The hand, he did get the hand looked at and eventually x-rayed, right? I mean, he did concede that after in his postgame. I'm trying to remember if he acknowledged getting an x-ray, right? So that,
yes.
We know that happened, yeah. So maybe that's it, right? I tell you something I've thought, I expected this to be, you know, quite a subject today. I'm relieved for him and us that, in a way, like 13 seconds, yes, that was a massive disaster tactically, coaching, all that. Like, Allen has got that game in his hip pocket. And you should remember that because when you say, like, oh, is he a problem? Oh, he slipped in Tennessee. He couldn't make a throw against New England. You start going down the list from just last year, right? Forget about 2020 when they were, what, 5-1 in one score games? Or even whatever the record, they were excellent the year before, I think. But last year was bad, and he's in the middle of a couple of gaffes, right? The slip in Tennessee, and if yesterday is another, like, he slipped, I think we'd be really worried, but you've got the KC game, like he did it, and he's done it other times too. Mm-hmm, but the most recent example is, to me, do I have a Josh Allen coming through problem? I don't think I do. But he missed yesterday with a chance to win the game.
803-0550, Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Eric Wood at 4. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
The snap. Josh looks his way, fires short left side. It is caught. Touchdown, Buffalo. Caught by Devin Singletary in the end zone for the Buffalo touchdown. A 2-yard touchdown toss. Singletary was wide open.
Yeah, again, next man up. This is one game, and we'll learn from this one tomorrow. Take it on the chin and, again, prepare for next week. That's all we can do. We can move forward, and, again, we're 2-1. Like to be 3-0, but 2-1, you know, we can still accomplish everything we want to accomplish.
Josh Allen, of course, a record-setting day for him statistically. 400 passing yards, 63 passes, and the 90 plays. I like this one. Sal Capaccio tweeted that the 90 plays the Bills ran is their second most ever in a game that did not go to overtime. I was at the first. And you would never, ever, 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 ever think of this game for this, because they scored 10 points. Yesterday they scored 19. It's not like they scored 40 points yesterday either.
Right.
But it was a Monday night game at Three Rivers Stadium where the 94 Bills lost to Pittsburgh. And they had two. I looked it up. Like, they, when I saw from Sal, like, what? I was at that game. They lost 23-10. Like, that game, they ran 91 plays? Yes. And it was just like two super long fourth quarter drives. One is Kelly, one is Reich after Kelly is hurt. That just, like, everything was 3rd and 5, and they get it. 3rd and 4, and they get it. And it was just, like, 15 plays. They never scored on either one. It just sort of, I wonder how many plays they ran in that quarter. But it's the second, yesterday's the second most in history. Some of the efficiency numbers and sort of advanced stuff I've looked at, the Bills, they don't have the Bills as any more efficient than the Dolphins, which is sort of kind of a puzzle. Because 90-39, if that's Miami's number, in plays implies that one team is just a lot better in this game. They just couldn't finish. And, you know, that's true enough. But it wasn't like Miami was bad. They just didn't keep the ball.
Yeah, Miami scored. I mean, Miami had, what, 3 red zone opportunities, and they scored touchdowns on them all. Now, one was a gift. I mean, well, gift.
The
I
fumble.
Mean, they took the gift. I mean, whatever. I mean, but, you know, for as far as the offense goes, yeah, they didn't have much to do there besides just push it in. But they got their points. The Bills missed opportunities. That's why, you know, in addition to this, you know, this conversation about close games and, you know, tactics and coaching and all that, this is a game to me that you've got to decide how hard you want to beat on them for not making plays that could have won them the game, despite all the adversity. You know, like, there's always going to be adversity. Joe Marino tweeted this one. He's on every Wednesday, right? Draft Network, Joe Marino, Locked On Bills.
G.I. Joe.
The weather last year when the Bills won 35-0 was almost exactly the same as it was yesterday. Now, I don't know. I didn't check dew points and barometric pressure and stuff.
Dew points.
But, like, the your basic weather stats were very similar. And, you know, 35-0. I mean, that's not to say that guys weren't going through something last year. It's just I don't think it was as unprecedented. Maybe yesterday is what I meant to say, not last year.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that.
Much more stressful, strenuous game.
It absolutely was. So, I mean, I'm not denying it happened, but it just, you know, the idea that it was, like, some new thing. Like, it's Miami in September. I mean, that's how it is.
Dew points. I couldn't love that more, dew points. The dew point conversion. First ever dew point mention of in our show, maybe. First time ever. Love it. Here's Dave with us. Hi, Dave.
How you doing, guys?
All right, Dave. Thanks.
All right, so I really don't have any questions. I have been listening to the show basically all day while I was at work. I've been hearing a lot of people basically talking about how bad the Bills have been playing or about the hydration situation. But what a lot of people have to understand is they came out, they played. We did come in with our defense being a little bit beat up, but at the same exact time, we used mainly our whole roster. And we still showed up. Yes, we had some players fall. But at the end of the day, we came. We did what we had to do. We still put up points. Yes, we fell at the end. But we have to just pick those pieces up, go into Baltimore, and show this crowd and the NFL exactly what the Bills have been able to do.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Dave. Here's Brian next. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. So my observations from yesterday, it kind of felt like last year where the offensive line felt just jumbled. I mean, I think Allen, he makes it look so easy, but the amount of pressure that he escapes is incredible to me. Now, I'm not looking at it as Greg Cosell where he's breaking it down and could he shifted left and right a little bit more and been a little bit more pocket aware. I don't know. It just looked like he made a lot of things happen. And but he was diving out of the way a lot and having to move a lot. So I can see he skips a ball to McKenzie. My bigger issues when it comes to McDermott and the play calling and maybe this hand-wringing when we get into these tight games. Second drive of the game, I have no idea what they're trying to establish. You run to Moss, -1. You run again to Moss, -1. It just felt like a give-up drive almost. You had gone down the field with aggressive plays, good screens, that good throw to Diggs, and it just kind of felt like, let's just bring the energy level down and see if we can get an easy one. I don't know if that was – they're already winded in the game, but that was strange. We got.
I like that point.
Yes.
It's two Moss runs for 1 yard each, and then Allen's hit and fumbles.
Yeah, just to me it took the – like even sitting there just watching it just felt like, okay, the energy came down. And then I wasn't super surprised that he got, you know, a negative play happened. I don't know that he was going to get strip sacked. But It just felt like we kind of came out and let's just see what we can do. It just wasn't as aggressive. And that's the point of the game where you go up 14-0. Well, it's on now. And you feel good. I think we got a little obsessed yesterday with RPO handoffs. When we did run, I'm not saying we ran a ton. But those are just back to the offensive line point. If they can't block, those are just getting blown up, in my opinion. The Bills would be better off just picking one running back. And at this point, you've given Singletary a long runway. You've given Moss a long runway. They've had their extended trials. If you can't just turn around, hand it off to Cook, and just go straight forward, I don't know. This team seems hesitant to do that.
Well, they've not been good at it, for one thing. Like, I think it's probably – it's almost contradictory to the previous point. Like, you want to be able to do that, but then it's not aggressive enough. And so where I – and I think you probably know, but where I end up landing is throw the ball. You know, and I would that game doesn't change anything for me. They have three running backs. We'll see. Singletary is getting usage yesterday like he was getting at the end of the year. I mean, the other guys played. You ran 90 plays. But Singletary got tons of snaps in this game. 9 receptions. When has that happened? That's interesting, right, that they're throwing the ball. 11 targets to Singletary, another to Moss, and 5 to Cook. 17 passes. Well, you threw 63, but 17 passes to running backs at least. Gilliam if you want, three more.
Yeah, I mean, there's look, I mean, statistically, there's a lot of ways to, like, look at this game and find evidence that the Bills were the superior team and maybe even the far superior team. But 90 plays on defense, and did Miami bust at all? I mean, maybe they did, and Allen just couldn't get there, you know, because of the pass rush and whatever breakdowns up front. But Miami deserves a lot of credit for playing. You have that offense on the field for 90 plays, and there's not one 75-yard busted coverage bomb to Gabe Davis or anyone else. It seemed to me almost every time Allen tried to push the ball more than 15 or 20 yards downfield and almost got intercepted.
Yeah.
So Miami had a good plan, and if I'm searching to find reasons to criticize the Bills' offensive decision-making or their plan overall, I don't know that I'm worried about pass-run splits very much at all. I'm looking at a game, the first time this year, really, that a defense was able to contain the Bills' offense. I mean, I know it's 90 plays, but there was no bust. It never happened. Holland for Miami, to me, was a revelation. Like, for me, like, maybe everybody knows his name in Miami. He's their starting. He was outstanding. I felt like he was maybe the best player on the field outside of Allen. I mean, Allen, the caller's talking about, you know, what he has to do. I mean, he is a giant can of whiteout. I mean, he erases so much that goes wrong that you sort of might be inclined to take it for granted, which mm-hmm. makes it seem insane to criticize him for missing one throw. Right, so the whole thing just, like, circles back to how mad do you want to be? I'm not inclined to want to be that mad. I want to point out these things that you wish had been different, but I don't know. I don't feel like there's a lot to do other than just try again and hopefully be healthy.
Completed air yards per attempt. Completed air yards per attempt. The ball travels this many yards in the air and is caught. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Week one at the Rams, 5.9. Week two, the Titans, 5.8. Yesterday, 3.2. There is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
They could not.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Not get the ball down the field. Davis ends up playing 96% of the snaps. I came away from this game thinking, and throughout the game, thinking he's not 100%.
But Kumro got hurt early.
Kumro got hurt early, played five snaps. Davis plays them all.
Yep.
But maybe there was a level he didn't reach physically. I don't know. I mean, he was a small factor in this game. He's not a big target getter anyway, usually. But that's the guy, for your point, that we're going to unleash Gabriel Davis downfield, and you're not even going to see the secondary in the picture, like in the Ram game, where he's open and it's 40 yards downfield. Like, that play never happened. It's exactly right. It's totally to Miami's credit that they were able to prevent that whole game with the heat and everything else, and with the Bills throwing the ball constantly. Really good stuff from them. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Thanks, Brian. Back after this, Eric Wood in 20. This is WGR.
Snap to Josh. Looks to throw. Back there. Now guns it down the middle. It is caught by Isaiah McKenzie at the 15-yard line and is brought down at about the 10.
What a
great
throw.
Catch by Isaiah McKenzie on a spectacular throw by Josh Allen.
Yeah, no question. It was really frustrating to have to go in and do that, but I knew that was my best option to be able to get back on the field. Just feeling those cramps come up, you know, you can't do much about it. I was chugging pickle juice, doing as much as I could on the sideline, but sometimes the best option is to come in and get another IV. So, you know, I hated that I had to do that and miss a few plays, but it was what got me back on the field.
Bills tight end Dawson Knox, 63 passes, Knox 4 targets for 25. I'm not in the mood to boast about my fantasy results in week 3, but like last week I'd have been like, oh, where's your Dawson Knox, you know? 9 touchdowns.
I'm gonna have to stop using him as a parlay option to score, because that's just not working out through 3 weeks of the season.
9 catches so far. Really. Does Gilliam have as many?
Not really getting anywhere.
Probably not. You get the email from the physician today or no? Was it just me?
I think it was just you.
I think you did. You're CC'd on this.
Yeah.
A biology professor with degrees in exercise physiology from 2 well-known universities, including the University at Buffalo.
I did get informed that I may be having some email problems.
Okay.
It's possible I just missed that one. I'm getting some stuff, but I heard from someone who we get email from constantly that said email is bouncing back to him, and he can't get it to me. So maybe this one fell into the same,
all right,
same problem. So anyway, what's the story?
Let me preface this with a couple things. One, I don't know this guy, and I'm certainly no expert in exercise physiology. Also, I'm not inclined to question the Bills in this area. You know, and the Bills are worth a lot of money, and they probably have really sharp people. The Chargers have a guy that Tyrod Taylor is suing because he got the injection wrong. But, you know, it's still the NFL, and I'm not questioning the Bills by this. Yesterday, we heard about prehydration on the broadcast. We drank a lot of water, right from the end of the Tennessee game. This could just be the announcers translating what the Bills told them. But, you know, we heard about getting ready for the heat in Miami. This listener writes, there's no such thing as prehydration. We're not camels. We cannot store water. Any extra fluid you take in on a given day will be excreted by the kidneys. Your kidneys do not know you are going to Florida. That seems believable. Okay. I'm with this guy, so I'm in.
Uh-huh. All right.
No amount of water or fluid consumed during the game would prevent someone from experiencing heat-related decrease in performance, or worse yet, a heat-related health event. Not understanding this is dangerous, he writes. The greatest source of heat is not from the environment, but rather metabolic heat production. Evaporation of sweat is the most effective way to dissipate heat. Any sweat that drips off of you or soaks into clothes or equipment does not shed heat. Anyway, yesterday was dangerous. We are lucky we did not witness a heat-related event. That I think I agree with.
Yeah.
This was the conversation at home last night.
It's funny, I ran into someone at the grocery store today that works there that I often will talk to on days after games, or even if it's a few days after the game, like just sort of, you know, we chat for a few minutes. and this person was very concerned about there being something like that, like something really bad happening during the game. And I sort of said what I said a few minutes ago. It's always hot there. It was hot there last year. Like, I don't know what to tell you. But I know at one point in the post game yesterday, I used the word inhumane. I was just stumbling around like, is it inhumane? That's too strong. I don't think I want that. But I
love inhumane.
I don't know. Yeah.
Inhumane.
It was tough. I don't know. I'm definitely comfortable saying this. I can't remember watching a game where so many people on both sides were overcome by the heat.
Yeah, it was tough to watch.
Yeah.
Eric Wood, who was there, next here on WGR.
Snap. Josh, back to throw. Fires down the middle. Caught by McKenzie. Into the end zone. Touchdown. He caught it at the two, and he sailed into the end zone for the go-ahead touchdown for the Bills.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.